right. We're getting the hang of it. Thank you, choir, for leading us so well and singing so well. Today we'll be looking at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. The Sermon on the Mount, this is a continued section of it that we'll be looking at today, but it goes from Matthew 5 to chapter 7, 28, I believe, 27. And today we will be looking at Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. This is something that I've, the section of scripture that I've been working on for seminary. I have written my Greek paper on it. And so I've worked through this passage several times and want to share it with you all today. A sermon looks a lot different than an academic paper. There's a lot of differences to it. And for one of my requirements for the paper, I had to translate out of the Greek text what my translation is. So I have a translation, and I suppose I can read it sometime, maybe when I reach Dr. Reed's status, although, so that means that I'll never be reading it. So I'll never reach Dr. Reed's status. So there is a sermon out there, but you probably don't want to know what it says, a translation. But here we look to God's Word. This is God's Word. The New King James Version is a much more suitable translation than my own, and it has stood the test of time. So we will look together at Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34 together. You cannot serve both God and money. Verses 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let us go before the Lord in prayer before we begin, as we begin. Dear gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your Word is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. May you work mightily in this place. May your Word go forth. May we not worry, and may we look to your provision, to your goodness, to your grace, and may we grow even more closer to you. May you use my words through me or in spite of me. May we learn from you today and what you will have us learn. May we go away less worried about the day and less worried about tomorrow, as we trust and look to your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When Faith was growing up in Texas, my wife, her family went through some financial difficulties. Her dad was in and out of work, and there was a span of time when he was out of work for 3 years. And Faith went to several different schools, but her last 3 years of high school, she was able to attend a private school for free. But they struggled. They struggled financially. Her dad made some poor decisions financially. And so at different times and in many circumstances, they were living under the poverty line, under the line of poverty as they tried to make ends meet and as money was not managed the greatest. And so Faith went through those times, and like a typical high school girl, she wanted to go to prom. She wanted to get the dress that she wanted to wear to prom. Like any typical high school girl, that's what she wanted. And the girls in her high school would pick out more expensive dresses and dresses for their prom, for the prom. And Faith and her family weren't able to afford the dress that most were wearing. But money began to come in. There were anonymous gifts. There were money in her locker that she found at different times, or money in an envelope on the doorstep. And so God provided the means for her to have a dress, to have fun at those events and those gatherings. And so she would go dress shopping like any girl would for a prom dress. However, she would go shopping, and then she would be convinced not to get the dress that she wanted, but to go for a lesser dress, a more inexpensive dress, a dress that was more manageable. And the excess money would end up going to pay for her dad's bills. And so she went through that time, that difficult time in her life, and many people would speak to her, would tell her to read Matthew 6, would tell her that Matthew 6 would relieve her anxieties and her worries. But what she found was that worry is such a broad category and such a broad thing that other passages of Scripture speak well more towards anxiety than general worry. God would provide what she needed. God provided the dress, but it went to somewhere else. God provided what she needed, but would her stomach still hurt? God provided what she needed, but would she be without power for the next week? God would provide what she needed, but would she get the medicine that she needed if she were sick? That was not the plan. So, God provides our needs. We're to look at this passage. We're to be comforted by it. God meets our needs. We do not worry because God knows us. God knit us together in our mother's womb, as Charlie shared with us today. God provides for our needs, and we see that in this chapter. We're not to worry because God provides. God is good, God is for us, and God knows us. He cares for us, and He knows who we are. He knows us. 3 points to talk about today. But first, Faith would eventually go to prom, and she would have fun, and eventually she made her own prom dress her senior year, and it was a good time. I wish that I had known her then, and I wish I would have been able to go with her. Faith is wonderful, one of the most caring people I know, and very frugal, very wise, and it's fun to watch her think, it's fun to watch her create. It's fun to see God's gift to her in her handiwork. And but I love her for that, not only those things, but who she is, as she's made in the image of God, as God cares for her and God cares for us, and God made Faith and I for each other. So I love her for that. And we'll be talking about 3 points today. Number one, our bodies matter. Two, God cares for you. And three, look heavenward. So let's first see this context. This is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, taken from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 begins. We begin with the Beatitudes. Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. We look specifically, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. As we'll look later when we get to verse 33, the climax of this passage. And we'll look at different things that are given to us in the Sermon on the Mount. To love your enemies, to give to the needy. The Lord's Prayer Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount. Also says not to store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but to store up treasures in heaven. Because what we store up on earth is fleeting. What we store up in heaven and work towards for the kingdom is eternal, is forever. So verse 25 starts out by saying therefore, which means there's something before it that we need to take note of. There's something before it that applies to this passage because it begins in the middle of a sermon, in the middle of a section. Verse 24 speaks about how you can't serve both God and money. It's either you serve God or you serve money. You can't have two masters. You cannot serve both God and mammon, which is wealth and money. It's either one or the other. And so people are worried. People are worried about life. The people that Jesus is preaching to are worried. They don't have the money that is necessary to live, yet they're following Jesus. They're under the mount that he's preaching on, and they're learning from him. They know that there's something more. They know that there's something greater than temporary wealth, the wealth that is only now, only on this earth. So we can't do both. And so we worry about those things. We worry about our lives. We worry about clothing, about food, about resources. We go about our days worrying. We worry often. And when we worry, we are thinking that we are better than God. We're thinking that we can do things better than God can do things. We're saying, God, I've got this. I've got a plan for my life. I know what will best work out for me. Let you just be along with the details, and you just be there for me whenever I have a need. Whenever there's a need, I'll come to you with that. But other than that, when I have my worries, when I have my plans, I'm just going to set those, and I hope that you check them for me. I hope that you check the boxes. So we worry about things, and in our worry, we put ourselves in place of God. Now, I don't think anyone in here would say that we are better than God or that we could do things better than God could. However, when we worry, which I worry, we're doing that very thing. Cannot serve both God and money. And yet we worry. We worry about our life. We worry about the next day and the next day. We look ahead and we get different things from that. Verse 25, our bodies matter. Our bodies are important. Our bodies are a focus. We're created in God's image. God designed us. God knit us together. We have design. We have purpose. God has a plan for us. When it says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? The body is more than clothing. There's something more to our bodies. And Jesus displays that so well. In youth in the fall, we discussed that. We looked at a theology of the body. We looked at the fact that we're made in God's image, that God has a plan and a purpose for us. And ultimately, one day, our bodies will be resurrected. Our bodies matter. Our bodies will be made new. They'll be transformed. But our physical bodies matter. When doubting Thomas or believing Thomas sees Jesus, he sees the scars that Jesus still has. Jesus' resurrected body still has scars, and we see that. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is true worship. It also says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our bodies matter, our health matters, our livelihood matters, and God is redeeming those things. Those things are broken by the fall, and God is making all things new, and He is currently at work in this. So it says, do not worry. A lot of translations say, do not have anxiety. And I prefer the do not worry, because worry is so broad, and anxiety today comes with it with a term. It's a label. Anxiety. I have anxiety. And anxiety is rising in our young people today. Whether it's through social media, whether it's through school, the classroom, walking down the halls, ask your middle schooler, ask your high schooler if they deal with anxiety. It goes on. It is a term, a label. And so worry deals with many different things, many different things in life that goes on. Anxiety can be met with so much more, and be more intentional about that. And many people may not have panic attacks in here, But many people in here worry. I worry. And so we look to worry. We look at this broad sense of what is going on. And we see that God's provision is the counter to worry. So we look at God's goodness, how God provides, and that's a counter to worry. It says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. It's easy for us to get caught up in clothing, in dress, especially on Sunday mornings. Especially on Sunday mornings at New Harmony, we want to look our best. And there's nothing wrong with that and being reverent to God in that. Many of us have been brought up to look our Sundays best, right? And we do that, and we're being reverent to God in that. But a problem comes with that whenever we are comparing ourselves with others, whenever we are looking at others and seeing what they are wearing and basing our livelihood on that. And oftentimes that can bring anxiety and that can bring worry when it's not becoming reverent, when it's not becoming a worshipful sense, but it's becoming something of comparison, something of being better than the other, and something of putting others down who are here or who come into this place. It's a reverence for God, and it's a heart issue. It's something between you and the Lord. I think you all look nice today, but it doesn't matter what I think. We are to worship God. It's a matter of the heart. The Pharisees had it all together externally, but what matters is what is internal. It was a hot summer's day. God provides. Faith and I had just moved into our house, which we now live in. There's a two-lane road. There were fields all around. There was beauty around. There was a nice gate in the front that had a W on it, providentially. Not for Womack or Winchester, but an even greater name that it stood for. We enjoyed it. We're enjoying the place that we live. And like South Carolina and like areas, they need to be kept up. And the grass was growing, and it was time for it to be cut. And we had just moved in. It was a hot summer's day, so I geared up, and I got ready. I hydrated myself, and I went outdoors to a good old push lawnmower. And if some of you have driven by, you've seen that there's a lot of grass. But I began. I began in the push lawnmower that I was using, and I went back and forth, row after row. I was trying to stay hydrated. I was trying to stay energized and in good standing. And I went back and forth, row after row, as the sun beat down, as I went over ant mounds, and as the wheels were turning and I was pushing, I began to grow weary. I began to get tired. It was a workout doing that. It was a workout going and pushing and mowing. And I had turned around, and I was going yet another line, another row, going into the sun beating down on me. And lo and behold, I see a white figure out in the distance. I see something bobbing up and down in the distance as I rode by. I was wondering, am I seeing things? Is this, I know I might be dehydrated. I know I might need to go in and get some more water. But what am I seeing? What is this? And so I continue to work. I continue to go on. And then I look up again, and it's Steve Welch coming in on a John Deere riding mower. God provides. And Steve, let me mow the rest of the grass on the riding mower. God provides, and God provides through means of other people sometimes. Praise God for His provision. Point number two, God provides because He cares for you. God cares for you. Verses 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So God is working. God is providing for the animals. God is providing for the needs of the birds. What the birds need, what their needs are, God is meeting the needs of the animals. And we are different than animals. The theory of evolution shows that, which we don't hold to, shows that we are no greater than animals, that we just go, and we may be more advanced, but we're no greater than the animals. And so we see the effects of that today, but this verse says that we are greater than the birds. We're greater than the animals because we are made in God's image. God knows us. He has called us before the foundation of the world. We are made in His image, and we are different. We are different than the animals. But so often we see in society that people would rather spend time with animals than they would humans. And God built us for relationship. Yes, there is less drama spending time with your dog than humans, most likely. But we are called to that. We are called to be with each other. There's nothing wrong with loving animals. I like my dog. I like my chickens. Animals are good. Animals are good to spend time with, to watch. Those are good things. We can find joy in that. But if something happens to one of my animals and it's an expensive procedure, I may not go that route. If Winchester had an expensive procedure, you better believe I would do absolutely everything possible, everything that I could for him, for that. However, if I decided to make a GoFundMe or if I posted it on Facebook, I think that more people would actually give to my dog than give to my son for the procedure. Things are backwards. Things aren't as they should be. People are more willing to help out a dog than they are a human life, a human being. And so we see that, and we know that it's wrong because we are more than that. And God's provision goes over and beyond all of it because He cares for the birds. He cares for the animals. He nourishes them. He provides for them. So He will also provide for us. He will provide for human beings made on the sixth day, made in His image, made very good. Even though everything is broken, everything is not as it should be, God is at work, and God is active. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? We worry and we worry and we worry. I've spent so much time wishing and worrying and hoping that I would be 2 inches taller, especially when I played basketball. If I were only 2 inches taller, I would be able to dunk consistently. If I were only 2 inches taller, I'd be able to get blocked less. I would be less likely to get dunked on. I would be able to dunk more consistently, which is what I wanted to do. I had to take off from almost the half-court line and run, palming the ball, to get to the rim. Couldn't dribble. It was a travel. But I could get up maybe once out of every 20 or 30 times and dunk. But if I was 2 inches taller, if I was 6'5", I would be playing in the NBA. It's not true. Not true at all. But I would think about those things, and I would worry about those things, and I would want those things. But God has a different plan. God has a different purpose for that. And so I would worry, and I would wish, and I would want, but God has something better in mind. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. So lilies are just growing. They're not, no stress, no nothing. They're not trying to accomplish anything great. They're just growing. God's provision, the rain, the sunshine, lilies grow. And they're not stressed out. And they're beautiful. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. The lilies of the field, looking out and seeing lilies, seeing flowers, God's goodness, God's nature on display, the God, the creator of the universe, showing his handiwork in the birds being fed, in the flowers growing, in the flowers spreading. We see the beauty of nature. We see the beauty that God's design is. And Solomon, one of the richest kings of all, one of the ones who has provided most with wealth, one who was worried about different things, not worried about wealth all necessarily. Yet the lilies are more arrayed than anything that Solomon had. Solomon had something that was temporary, that was earthly, and we have something that is eternal. We look ahead. We look heavenward. Verse 30. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, He will much more clothe you, O you of little faith. So we worry about these things, and the grass is clothed. God provides for His creation, and it's only here temporary, but we are eternal. We last forever. And so don't worry about these things, because God provides. God provides for you and provides abundantly. It says, O you of little faith. We need to have faith. We need to act. We need to work. Why do we worry? Because we have little faith. May we bring our faith to action. Our faith, which is imperfect, which sometimes doubt, we're still called to action. Those people who are mentioned in Hebrews 11 did not have a perfect faith, but they acted. Samson, who was brought over by lust, not by serving God, who was tricked many times and who had clear weaknesses, yet at his last, he had faith in God. He prayed that God would give him strength one more time. And the house came tumbling down on the Philistines. God provided with an imperfect faith, but with a faith that acted. I never thought I was a worrier. I never thought that I dealt with worry, but I certainly have had to be preaching to myself this week about worry and about all that goes on. Whenever Faith was pregnant, whenever Faith was in the hospital, I was worrying. I was worrying about Winchester. I was worrying about everything. When Faith got wheeled back for the emergency C-section, I was worried. I looked at the nurses for assurance. Will Winchester be okay? Will Faith be okay? I was worried. When my sister was going through cancer, I was worrying. 10 years ago, I was in the hospital with a staph infection. Many were worrying, but even more were praying. Testimony to the power of prayer. We worry. We worry for Winchester. We worry for our children. It's a part of life, but yet, when we look at God, when we look at God's face, when we see God's goodness on display, we look to Him. The third point, we are to look heavenward. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is the climax of the chapter. This is the climax of the section. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First, I skipped ahead. Verse 31 and 32, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. So we worry about what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. That's what the Gentiles worry about. The Gentiles are caught up, the pagans, what this is referring to, they're caught up in the clothing and what they have in temporary life, and they're trying to build that. They're looking one day at a time, and that's all they have to live for. That's all that they're looking for. They're looking for earthly gains of clothing, of material blessing. So we need to differentiate ourselves from that, and we need to look heavenward, look towards God's goodness, His kingdom, and His righteousness. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. That's the answer. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to seek first His kingdom. His kingdom that is displayed throughout. His kingdom that has His hand in all things. We're to look at the kingdom of God. The one, when we say, Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done. A kingdom that we look forward to the day, yet also a kingdom that we get glimpses of now. God's kingdom at work now. Showed the youth sunsets and different beauties from that at PYF, and said that we're given glimpses, we're given a foretaste, we're given appetizers of the kingdom now. So when we pray for God's kingdom and His righteousness, we're praying for today, we're praying for now, we're praying that God will supply our needs, that God will provide for us, that He'll supply our blessings, but we're also looking for the kingdom to come, God's heavenly kingdom, as we have something great to look forward to. And we have something great to look forward to because of God's righteousness that we look to and because of Jesus Christ, who gives us His own righteousness by Him dying on the cross for our sins. That's what Jesus does. So when we look at the kingdom, when we look to what we can look forward to that because of what Jesus has done. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, Jesus paying a way for us, not because of our righteousness that we are trying to accomplish, but because of Christ's righteousness put on us. We can rest in the fact, we cannot worry about that because God is working, God is doing something good, and God is doing something great in us. Matthew 5:20 says, Jesus says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." So if your own righteousness is greater than the scribes and the Pharisees who try to keep the law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It matters the heart. It matters when you fail, when you sin, it matters that Christ's righteousness comes over you, that Christ supplies your needs so that we can look, we can seek after God's righteousness, we can seek after the kingdom, all because of what Jesus has done. God's goodness. Jesus is looking ahead and He knows, He sees that He is God. And Jesus is the answer as we look heavenward, as we look to God's goodness and grace. So how do we live? How do we seek out the kingdom? How do we look to Christ's righteousness? What has to happen? How do we do this? What is different? What needs to be different than us and non-Christians? How are we to live? The missions conference is coming up quickly. And though people have sacrificed their lives, their selves for missions, for the spreading of the gospel, and people are going forth and they're able to share those times and those stories, and they're doing things to advance the kingdom. They're spreading the gospel for the kingdom. They are at work for doing kingdom work, and so we can learn about those things. We can see what missionaries are doing around the world and locally, and we can see the missions that we are called to in this area, wherever you are, spreading the gospel. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything together. But sometimes we just need to act. We need to pray. We need to have faith. We need to commit to the mission field that's around us and the needs around us and the people who need to hear the goodness and grace of the gospel that God provides, that God meets needs. And God not only meets the needs on this earth, but God meets the needs for all eternity. So how do we look different than non-Christians? Non-Christians who look to day after day only looking at the material things, only looking at clothing. Is it wrong to wear nice clothing? By no means. Is that the only thing that we should be looking towards? No. We're to be looking for something so much greater as we seek first the kingdom, as we seek first God's righteousness. Are we to be worried the same as non-Christians? No. We're to look to Jesus. We're to look to the one whose righteousness is placed upon us so that when we see God, we are counted as righteous, as perfect because of what Jesus has done. So we are different. We're seeking something greater, greater than ourselves, all because of Jesus. God is good and God provides. I was going to say the first line of the Lion King, the Circle of Life, but I will refrain from doing that. But I will say Hakuna Matata, which means no worries. It also, in Swahili, actually means no problem, but that's not, there is a problem, there's a problem with this world, and we'll take the Lion King translation of Hakuna Matata, which is no worries. We're to have no worry, we're to not have worries. The Bible, Jesus tells us not to worry because Jesus has paid it all. So we go through life, we look at God's provision, we look at God's goodness, and we are not to worry. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as God is supplying our daily bread, our daily needs, as we are looking forward, looking to something greater, looking to something eternal, as we are seeking God today and tomorrow, as we are not getting caught up in what's tomorrow, but looking, taking one day at a time, taking God's grace one day at a time, as we go through life, as we battle, as we fight the fight, as in the midst of our fighting, we look to God's goodness and God's grace. We look to God's provision for us. We seek ye first. We seek ye first. Let us pray. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God, may we not worry. May we be reminded of Your faithfulness to us. May we be reminded of Your provision. May we not worry about tomorrow. May You grant us peace, a peace that transcends all understanding. And may we look to that glorious day when we behold Your face and we are worshiping and praising Your name with 1,000 tongues to sing, as we are acknowledging and glorifying You with all tribes, tongues, and nations. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.